Svarno Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim. So the beginning of the parsha talks about how the Kohen Gadol goes into the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan, on Yom Kippur. And it also mentions that he wears his Big Day Kahuna, and says Big Day Kodeshim, and the Svarno says, Bikmosam Yeru HaMalacham HaLanaviyim. These are holy garments that the Kohen's wearing, because the Kohen's dressed up like Malachim. That is, whatever this means, the Malachim are nirim belavushe abadim. This is the way when a Navi sees a Malach, what will it look like? It looks like the Kohen Gadol. In other words, this is what a Malach appears to a Navi wearing these begadim. Again, I don't know what these mean. You know, Malachim are, they're not physical. I don't know if that means they, you know, we have different descriptions of what Malachim look like with wings and things. Most of these things are meant to be conceptual, so I don't know what exactly this means, but that's what the Svarno says, that the Malachim look like the Kohen Gadol, and I believe the Ramban is the one who said something similar, that that's why the Kohen Gadol, when he goes in, nothing happens to him, because he's dressed in these big day Kodesh, so the Malachim are scared off, or the ones who would harm him are scared off. Anyway, the Svarno says, Big Day Kodesh Haim, that he looks like a Malach with these begadim. And they, so then there's this girl, there's this lottery to choose which is this, the one, the goat that goes la'azazel, and which is the one that goes la'ashem. So the Svarno says that, why are we doing a lottery? What's the point of that? Isn't it just like, why bother? So he says, because a girl, especially when done by a tzaddik, is like asking Hashem. Got that? That's a pretty serious statement. I'll read it to you his words. Ki agorol befrat ayde ish chasido hu kaasher yishal ish bedvar ha'elokim. It's like asking Hashem. Mamish like asking the Urim Metumim. Especially here you have the Kohen Gadol who's doing everything. But doing a agorol done by someone holy is like asking the Urim Metumim. Okay, anyway, next we have that he does this carbon. He brings a carbon chatas. It's a kapara for him. And then he brings a keteres. Why is that? So the Svarno explains, because as soon as the Kohen Gadol gets his kapari, does tshuva, his misvada, and his avera goes away, now he's finning to get the Or Hashem, to get the Or Pnei Melech, as the Svarno writes, and then Hashem is revealed to the person right away. And therefore, a keteres is appropriate at that time. Meaning after you bring the carbon tabid, lamashal, and you have that kind of gilu shchina, it's followed by a doron, so to speak, of a keteres, a gift of a keteres. That's what's appropriate after it. So too, when the Kohen gets his kapara, he should also bring a keteres. And this, as the Svarno had mentioned before, and it's mentioned again here, was the mistake of the sons of Aaron HaKohen, that they thought they were supposed to bring, since they had a Gilu Shechina, they were supposed to bring the Akhtaris, and that's why they died, because they were not. Okay, then he famously leaves his begadim that he wore when he went into the Kodesh Kadashim, he leaves them, and never to be used again. Meaning as soon as he takes them off, they're put in Geniza, they're hidden. Why is that? So the Svarno explains, because the Kohen wore them when he was at the super height of Kedusha, and therefore, as soon as this service is over, he's not going to be at that level again of being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that high level. Therefore, any other time he wears it, it's inappropriate for him to be wearing it. Even next year, Yom Kippur, till he does it, he's not at that level. So putting him on when he's not at that level is inappropriate. It's not for him. It was worn at a higher level, which is, you know, what are you supposed to do with that? What does that mean? When you wear something, when you're at a high level, I guess a super high level, and it's certainly if it's miyuchad for Hashem, it's not appropriate to use when the person is at a lower level, which is very interesting. I don't think we apply this exactly to our lives. Like if you wear your kittel on Yom Kippur, you can't wear it again next year because you reached a high level. You know, we don't go to that extent. But I guess when it's something that's miyuchad Hashem and it's, you know, a serious high kedusha, then can't wear it again once if you're not worried for it at that time. After he brings all the chatases, we have the ola that he brings, and it says after that, it's in Pasuk Chav Talad, What's this second kapara? So the Sfarno explains it's a kapara on Hirhuri Halev. Now, what kind of Hirhuri Halev? I would think, based on what he says here, he doesn't mean what we usually think of Hirhuri, which is inappropriate thoughts of Znos. I don't think, maybe we could also include that, but it doesn't sound like what his main Hirhuri Halev is. Hirhuri Halev, a kapara of Hirhuri Halev, haru'yin l'nikiye kapayim avari levav. Zebel, it sounds like just your heart wasn't in the right place. If you were in a holier place and now you weren't, so the Ola is a kapara on when your heart was not in the right place. And then the Sfarno explains, Kibe Yomase Yechapri says the reason why you need, after all this whole avot in the Beis HaMikdash and the or the Mishkan, so why do we also need a fast? I mean, didn't the Kohen Gadol take care of anything? Everything, rather? So he says, no, he didn't take care of everything. What he did was he made it less. He made the chait less, and now it's muchan for slicha. But now you, after the Kohen Gadol does avodah, you, every Jew, has to do tshuva. L'fnei Hashem titaru. That only happens when you yourself come to Hashem and do tshuva and vidui. And only Hashem knows your tshuva. That's l'fnei Hashem titaru. And ends off, as you know, so this friend says, it's the chukas olam, even when there will be no Beis HaMikdash, still Yom HaKippurim is always a day of kapara. Okay, then it says, whenever they want to eat, they have to bring it as a karban, back in the time of the Midbar, because they needed to get out of the habit of being zoveach to the Seirim, which this friend says means the Shadim. And the Sfarno explains that this was not that they would offer karbanos to the Shadim, as in it was Avodah Zarah. Offering karbanos to Seirim is not Avodah Zarah, exactly. Well, let me explain what I mean by that. It's not that the person offering the karban to the Shade was accepting that Shade as his melech or his god or anything like that. It just helped the Shadim hang out with them. And this way the Shadim would help them. So they would, I don't know that this is not Avodah Zarah, but it sounds, the Sfarno is making the point that they would not mekabel them as God. That was not what was happening. It was just like a magic trick. Like you offer this thing, it does bring this carbon. It's like, you know, and then the Shade will hang out with you and do your bidding. So that's what they were trying to get them out of the habit of, because apparently there was a lot of that in Mitzrayim. And the Sfarno just spends a few minutes, you know, a little bit explaining what a Shade is. He says it's what we also call mazikim. And Chazal said that they eat and drink and have and procreate and die. And there's all these psukim about not eating blood, so as not, you know, in an attempt to get shadim. That's because shadim eat. Got this? And we know the nefesh. What would a shade eat? It's basically not a spiritual thing. It eats and drinks and lives and dies, but they're invisible. They see, but they're invisible. They're not exactly physical. They're not exactly not physical. So what would something like that eat? Well, the dam carries the nefesh, because a person cannot live without dam. The dam, in a sense, carries the koach of the nefesh in it, as we say, ki adam hu ha-nefesh. And that is the mazon of the shadim. Therefore, if you offer a shade blood, he's happy. And if you eat it yourself, you become more like him. Then they want to hang out with you. That's what he explains. This is the thing with dam and shadim. So that's why there's so many lavim about not eating blood, and the mitzvah made blood, because that would get them the shadim. They'd offer it to the shadim, or they'd eat it themselves, then they'd become more like shadim, and more likely to have shadim help them. So he explains very beautifully that this is what the pasuk means when it says don't, in our parsha, about not eating blood. Pasuk, it's Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, ki nefesh habasar badam hi, manani nesativ lachem ala mizbeach, lachaper al nafsha seichem. I gave you the blood to put on the mizbeach, not because I'm like the shadim, and Hashem needs the blood, like to help Hashem, God forbid. Rather, it's because it's lachaper al nafsha seichem, ki adam hu banefesh yechaper, because the blood carries the soul, and therefore it's a kapara on you. But not because Hashem needs the blood. It's very different. Therefore, you should not be eating blood or offering it to Shadim. It's meant as a kapara for you on my Mizbeach. And then, the next pasuk is the pasuk about Kisei Adam. Well, what does one have to do with the other? We just got off, we're talking about blood, that part's true. But when we're talking about don't eat blood because it's meant as a kapara for you and it's not meant to connect you to shadim and then to be for bad things, then it says, and if you shecht a chai or an oaf, you have to cover the blood and not a behemah. Why is that? So, like the pasuk says, explains this far. I know it says, "Asher yatud tzeid chaya." Those need to be trapped, a chayah or an oaf. So you're out in the fields. Out in the fields is where the shadim are. So we're a little nervous what's going on here, and therefore, we don't want blood, not open blood there, and it should be covered to make sure that shadim don't get near you because we want you far away from shadim. Now, what's so bad about shadim? Says this far, no. Because they're called mazikim for a reason. They only do negative. Yes, they'll do what you want, but they'll do you what you want, like they'll get you your cocaine, kind of do what you want. Like, they won't do anything positive. They'll do something you might like, but it's negative. They don't do positive things, and that's why we want you nowhere near a shade. Okay, then we get into the parasha of Arayos. So, this Farno, like others, says this idea that, really, if you, you know, a person's not allowed to marry their relatives. Okay. So he says, really, you would have thought that should have been the best. Because if you have two people who are the same, right, they're from the same family or whatever, and so they got the same, you know, mannerisms, everything, that'd be the best marriage, right? They're all used to the same stuff. And the kid would come out the best. And, you know, there was Amir Min Yocheved, which became an erva later, but at their time was not. They had Aaron, Moshe, Miriam, all great tzaddikim. So he says, marrying relatives should have been good. But that's only if they had the purest of intentions and they were all Hashem Shemayim. So then it would be great. However, if relatives would be, again, this all presupposes that there's some type of here for relatives. I don't know, you know, whatever. Maybe it depends on how distant that relative is. But regardless, let's assume there would have been taiva for a relative. So, the point is that if relatives were mutter, brother could marry a sister, something like that. If that was mutter, so then since they're so around each other all the time, it would just lead to too much znus, too much hirhur of stuff and tainug that has nothing to do with the point of marriage. And therefore that would be bad. And they would be getting together not to have kids and it would just lead to tons of zima. So that's no good. Okay, then we have, again, a lot of this, Farno, not all of it, but a lot of it is similar to the Ramban. And when it says marrying a ishobita, a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her mother. So that's called zimahi, specifically zima, which means a bad thought, which is what the Farno says. It's chibur nolad mihirhur avera bilvad. It's a connection born out from hirhur avera bilvad. It doesn't really explain so much how and why and what. If he means like the Ramban, I don't know. The Ramban says because since a mother and a daughter are probably pretty similar, so a person will be with one and thinking of the other. I don't know if that's what he means here, but he says the Chibur from Avera, from thinking of Avera. Okay, then we have, this is definitely like the Ramban, why you can't marry two sisters, Achos Isha. So, because the Pasuk says, Isha shal achosa lo si kach litzro, don't take her to be a tzara for the other one. As he says, because sisters are supposed to be friends. And if you take them as co-wives, they're a tzara to each other. And he explains, this is why you only can't be married to your sister-in-law when your wife is alive. Meaning, you can't be married to two sisters when one of them is alive, because then they become, when they're both alive, I should say, because then they become a tzara to each other. But if one of them died, so then that's fine. Then you can marry. So if a person's married to one woman, and then that person's wife dies, they can marry now his former wife's sister. While they're alive, then they'll make them not friends. Now, you know, this friend doesn't speak this out, but it's even after divorce, even after if someone divorces their wife, they still can't marry their sister-in-law, because it would still be a tzara in that case. It's only once they die, so then there's no issue at all, then it's mutter, to marry that, sister-in-law. Okay. Okay, then it says in Mizarachalos, Yitain la'abir la'molach, don't give your children over to Molech, v'losachal la'ashem alech kecha, and otherwise they'll be a chal Hashem. I believe the Ramban says this as well, that the reason why it's a chal Hashem is because you offer to Hashem your cow, and to Molech you give your child. That's as if like the Molech's better, and that's besides it being usher, it would also be a chal Hashem. Now as to what Molech is doing in the middle of Arayos, the Sfarno, who's always interested in what one has to do with one pasuk has to do with the next one, says that the purpose of Arayos is to make our children be roi for Hashras Hashchina. And he explains that the concept of Molech was that the people who gave a child over to Molech, that was a segula that the other ones that would come after, his next children, would be great. So that's why it's here. Don't do Molech. Just keep Arayos and your kids will be great. And it's just the opposite. By worshipping Molech, the Shechina will leave the rest of the Zera. Then at the end of Parashas Achrimos, it says, Ishmarta misa mishmarti, keep my mishmeres, levilti lasos michukosa toivos, so the shanasu lefnechem. So the Sfarno explains that that last pasuk is saying, you have to keep my mishmeres. It means even the mitzvahs I gave you to keep you far away. Like there's a thing called the Siyag Daraisa. That's what Yosef Engelreich talks about. Thing called the Sfiag Daraisa, which is not just don't do Arayas, don't even come close. Chibuk Venishik, don't even come close to Arayas. That's also Daraisa. You have to keep that too. To not do Chukos HaToevos. There's a difference between Toevos and then Chukos HaToevos thing, and those are things that would lead to the Toevos. Anyway, keep away, keep the mitzvahs that keep you away from Toma, and then you won't be, and don't become Tomei with them. Okay, then we have in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Ishimo Vivti Ro, that your father and mother you should be in awe of. So the Sforno explains beautifully that this means that when you do kibbut avayim, you have to do it in a way that it's tiro'u, that you're in awe of them. Not that you're just like throw them a piece, you know, you have to be, kibbut is machil mashke, so you don't give them a, you know, derech bizay and give them a piece of meat and say, here, all right? No, you have to do it with awe, be mechabed them with yira. And to quote his words, which is very important for kibbut avayim, hard for many kids. It's very important for kibbut avayim. Yiyeh kibudo lahem kimechabed no ro'im etzlo lama alasim alav. Your kibbut should be like when you're being mishamish, I don't know, the gadol dor came to your house. You have to, when you're mishamish, your parents, it's have to be with Nora, that they're very chashuv people. That's the way to do it. Okay. Okay, then we have the chati, the shifcha charufa, which is the, a woman who is a half shivcha, half free, and then an eved ivri gave her kedushin. So the kedushin, I mean, it's an eved ivri, so it's not a real kedushin. She's half eved, half free, so she's mutter to this eved, but it's not a full kedushin, and therefore, if someone is with her, so then he's not chayiv, because it's not a real kedushin. But the what the punishment is unusual, that the man who is boel this type of eishes ish, he brings a karban ashram and she gets malchus, which is really seems really strange. So he explains the Sfarno that whose kavod was mechulal over here, meaning you, regular Yisrael, who are boel this shivcha charufa, why? What are you doing with the shivcha charufa? It's a step down for you. Why would you do that? It must be, probably, likely, that it's her fault, meaning she tried to convince you. She was the one who instigated it and you fell for it. Okay, but it was probably mostly her fault because why would you want to be with a shivcha charufa? It's a shivcha. I mean, we don't live in a society like this. Why would someone be with a shivcha? Must be, probably, that she was Margilosala Veira, and he was not exactly a shogig, but you know, closer to. And therefore, he brings a karbon like a shogig, and she gets malchus like a mezid, because we assume that's probably what happened. Again, you know, this is just a suggestion of the Sfarno of what the explanation is. And also, I don't think we can relate to the concept of, you know, slaves, but probably it was not so people would not want to be with a slave because that was way below their level, or how. Anyway, That's what he says. Okay. And one last point. I mean, there's many things here he says here, but I'm just here to speak out the things that are bigger chidushim. At the end, by the Ovid and Yidoni, very last pasuk of the parasha, Isha Isha Kiyev Ahem Ovid Yidoni, Moshe Yumasa, they get Misa, they get stoned. So why so terrible? So this Sfarno explains, what this whole point of all these last parashios stay away from teras. It's to keep us away from tuma. Stay away. We don't want to have tuma, so we don't have teras, so we don't all the things of the arayas we don't want, and the machalos asuros from shmini, and all the things in parshas kedoshim. All of it is to keep us away from tuma. And this guy went to an oven nidoni. All they do is tuma. They call up dead people with the ruach hatuma. So that's why they get skila. It's like the polar opposite of what the whole purpose of everything we've just said in the last couple of parshas. Everything is to be that Yisrael, a yid, should be tahor.